We are in Netzivot Shalom on the Parsha, on Parshat Ki Tavo, our first opportunity to learn Netzivot Shalom together this school year, this semester. It's really exciting. Just as a very short word of introduction, I love teaching Netzivot Shalom. First of all, I think it's just a beautiful gateway, sefer, into getting into deeper levels and deeper sfarim in Chassidut. I think it has two kind of really major advantages. It's an awesome sefer. I think it has two specifically unique advantages over most other Chassidus Sfarim. Number one is that while Chassidus, the goal of Chassidus was to bring things more kind of down to earth, at this point in history, I think there's still a lot in Chassidus Sfarim that is inaccessible in terms of terminology, in terms of understanding, in terms of background, in terms of flow, that the Netzivot Shalom addresses, and he's very clear and very direct, and he repeats things to make sure that they're clear and gives examples, which is really wonderful, again, kind of gateway into Chassidus, and wonderful in and of itself. And the second thing is that in almost every piece, he has a paragraph, V'al Derech HaAvoda, meaning not just what's this idea and this awesome thing that I can, you know, think about Torah in a different way and I can bring back to my Shabbos table, but also how do I apply it to my life. So that's kind of why every semester we have one or two Netzivot Shalom Chaburs. It's because they tend to be winners because it's an awesome sefer and it's really exciting to learn with you. So let's jump in. We're in Parshat Ki Tavo, and the piece that we're learning together is on page Kuf Samech. Ase mitzvah zo shebischara tikanes la'aretz. So he starts off. V'aya ki tavo la aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha nachala v'rishta v'yashavta ba v'lakachta mirishit kol pri ha'adama v'gomer. So this is the opening psukim of the parsha. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, when you come to the land which Hashem Elokecha will give you as an inheritance, and you inherit it and you dwell in it, and you will take from the first fruits of your land. Ma'amar Chazal b'sifrei, asei mitzvah amura b'inyan shebischara tikanes la'aretz. Do this mitzvah because in the schar of this mitzvah, as compensation, as a return for this mitzvah, that's how you'll be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. U'makshim ha'mefarshim, the mefarshim ask, sharei rak la'achar yeshiva v'yirusha shayu arbasri shana la'achar shenichnesu l'Eretz Yisrael, kaimu mitzvah pikurim. U'maye kavana shebischar mitzvah zo ikanthin la'atz. Beautiful, simple, direct question. What is Bikurim? What is the mitzvah of Bikurim?
Bikurim has to be done in Eretz Yisrael, no?
Right. So in Eretz Yisrael, you have a tree, and you wait all season, and you wait, and you daven, and you hope that there's rain, and you tend to the tree, and then finally, when those first fruits finally come out, even though we'll see if we get into this piece, even though you want to jump at that fruit, the whole winter you've just been davening and working and making sure you want that fruit to come. That when you see that first fruit, you know what you want to do? You want to grab it and sink your teeth into that juicy first new fruit? That's dafka, the fruit that we take, we raise up, we tie a string around it, a gomi around it, and we say that's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see if he gets into why that is in this piece and what the godless of that is in this piece. But either way, he has a very simple question. The Midrash Sifrei says that in the schus of Bikurim, you'll be able to enter the land. What's problematic about that sentence on a strictly straightforward level?
You have to do Bikurim in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, you're supposed to, you can't do it until you get into Eretz Yisrael. There are no trees. They're in a desert. They're sitting in the desert. They can't do Bikurim now.
But even now, like, we don't do Bikurim now. Do we?
We don't bring it to the Beit HaMikdash because, unfortunately, not the Beit HaMikdash. I don't know.
Israel, do we do
Bikurim? No. I actually don't know like what they do in Eretz Yisrael. If they have to like remove Bikurim in the same way that we still remove Tumah to Maaser. I don't know. I don't know. But we don't bring Bikurim anymore because we don't have Beit HaMikdash yet.
But I imagine that I think that Bikurim is only a mitzvah on Eretz Yisrael, right?
Correct.
So if someone doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, they don't do Bikurim.
So again, he's asking that question. That's his question. What does it mean that in the schus of Bikurim you'll go into the land? And he's saying on top of that, even if they are about to go into the land, it's going to take them another 14 years before they even settle the land. Sefer Yehoshua takes a while before they settle the land. So what does it mean that in the schus of Bikurim they're going to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael? Simple, straightforward question. And on top of that, just in general, why is it of all mitzvot, why is it the mitzvah of Bikurim that it's in the schus, it's in the schar of Bikurim that we're able to enter the land? Umadifuta al kol mitzvot atfluot ba'aretz. Why is this any more significant than any other mitzvah in general? But he's saying, what's more significant about Bikurim than any other mitzvah that's mitzvot atfluot ba'aretz? One of the mitzvot that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It's one of many mitzvot atfluot ba'aretz. There's a lot of things they're going to have to do when they get into Eretz Yisrael agriculturally. There's going to be Maaser Rishon, and then Maaser Sheni. There's also going to be Maaser Ani. He's saying even more than that. How much is Maaser? How much do I have to give in order to give Maaser? 10%. It's the name. It's a tenth. That's a lot. That says I'm giving up a significant amount. And then after that, I have to give another Maaser, to give Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, depending on the year. Here, you know how much you have to give for Bikurim? He's saying, Bikurim ain't shiur, but Dvar Marat Yotzei Chovato. You can give as much as you want, or as little as you want. You don't have to give any, you can give basically not, you can give almost nothing. So I would think that Maaser is a bigger mitzvah. There should be a bigger schus there. There's so many other mitzvot to love ours, and on top of that, you're picking the one where there isn't even a set amount. Umadua b'chol ha-mitzvot shel trumot u'masrot lo ne'amar shebischaram tikanes la'aretz rak mitzvot bikurim. Why are you focused on Bikurim and not on the other mitzvot to love ours that also require for you to give? V'ish lamar, the b'yor ha'inyan. Diki mikubal mirabotinu akadosh zichotig and lida yisodot ha'avodah Hashem, sorry, Yisrodot Avodat Hashem. That's the name of the sefer. Hinam Betin name. There are two. There. In Avodat Hashem, there are two inanim. In the foundation of Avodat Hashem, there's two inanim. There's Emuna and there's Kedusha. Emuna and Kedusha. Hamuna, Shaborei Barach Shemo, Hu Borei Umanhig Lechol Adberuim, Vulvado Asa Veose Viase Lechol Maasim, Umitochach Yodea Shein Moil La Adam, Kocho Veotzim Yado Vechomine Hitchach Muyot. How is he defining Emuna? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, that he created the world and consistently, continuously creates the world, that he guides that world, he's the singular force that's guiding that world, he's guiding everything in that world himself, and he does, has done, and will do everything in reality. And through that, a person comes to a place where he recognizes she'ein modi mo'il adam kocho, that my strength doesn't account for anything. My power, my strength is meaningless. And all of my ways of trying to figure out the best way to do this and the best way to do that, I have a requirement to put in hishtadlut. I have to do my best based on the wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me as a gift to figure out the best way to go about living in this world and trying to accomplish in this world, but with a deep recognition that at the end of the day, where does it all come from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's emunah. That's what he's saying is emunah. Is the recognition that after all of the effort that I put in, at the end of the day, it's all God. I'm just doing my hishtadlus. Maze kedusha. He says vinyana kedusha. What is kedusha about? Shiudiach nia et orpo hakashe v'imsor hanautav v'ta'avotav l'kadosh baruch hu. That's an entirely separate thing. Welcome to join if you'd like. The kedusha is that a person lowers themselves. Sorry about that. So vinyana kedusha, sheyudi achnia et orpo, that a person lowers themselves, subjugates themselves. Yachnia et orpo akashe, the stiff neck. The fact that we have a stiff, we often have a stiff neck, that we're often very. What's a good other English word for being stiff-necked? Stubborn. That's what I was going for. Thank you. Yeah, that stubbornness to lower ourselves, to break that stubbornness. V'imsor hana'otav v'ta'avotav l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to give over all of our desires and all of our pleasures in this world, to give that all over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's kedusha. Emunah is a recognition that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that that's the source. That I'm nothing in the sense that that's the source. Kedusha he's defining here as taking everything that I want and everything that I am and breaking my ego. That everything that I do is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That everything that I do is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in mind. That's how he's distinguishing between the two. There's obviously a lot more to say on Emunah and Kedusha, but for the purpose of this piece, that's how he's defining Emunah and Kedusha. V'nei. Ba'ich shayu Yisrael b'midbar. Hayubet inanim elu etzlam kedavar hapashut. When Klal Yisrael was in the midbar, these two things were very simple to them. These things were very obvious to them. Kidur Midbar, next column. Kidur Midbar, Hayudor De'ah. The generation in the desert, they referred to as the Dor De'ah. The generation of Da'at. They had an intimate connectivity and closeness with knowledge, a true understanding of the nature of reality, unlike any other generation. V'yugdolim be'od bevetinim elu. And they were tremendous in these two areas. Ha'emunah shalahem, ha'itah bedargah gvohah me'od. Their emunah was on a tremendously lofty level. She'achlu b'chol yom min ha'shamayim v'shatu mayim ha'be'er v'ra'u kol ha'it eich ha'kadosh baruch hu manhigotam b'ashkacha pratit. You know, we said, what does emunah mean? Recognizing that no matter how much I put in, everything is ha'kadosh baruch hu. What does that mean? That means that when I go out to work and I work and I work and I work, that's the recognition that when that paycheck comes in the mail, is that because of the work that I did or because ha'kadosh baruch hu is mefarnes me? Because ha'kadosh baruch hu is mefarnes me, because he sustains me. He provides that. Right? That even though it's one level of meaning behind the bracha of Bracha Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz. When you hold up bread and you say Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz, what's weird about the bracha of Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz? Bread doesn't grow from the ground. I know we live in New York and we live in an urban society, but just so you know, bread doesn't grow from the ground. Wheat does. And then you take the wheat and you have to remove the what from the chaff? You have to separate out the chaff, and then you have to go and you have to grind it up, and you turn it into flour, and then you take it into your house, and then you go and you add all the ingredients and you bake it. It's not Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz. I was motzi the lechem from that piece of wheat from the field. But that bracha, part of one layer of meaning in that bracha is a recognition. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who did this. He gave me the koach to do it. He guided that process. So we need to have a bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz to remind us that even though the bread is here and I was a part of that and the agricultural system was a part of that, God put that bread here. You know who didn't need that bracha? Generation in the desert. You know where their bread came from? It fell from the sky. No questions there. No issues in emunah there. You need a drink. It doesn't matter if the water company is having problems. It doesn't matter if the processing plant breaks down. You know why? We've got a well that follows us around like a puppy dog wherever we go in the desert. We don't know where to go next. It's okay. We don't need to figure it out. There's a cloud that will literally guide us and tell us what our next destination is. So for them, the emunah was part of it. They were 40 years later. We're at the very end of their journey in the desert. 40 years later, they were living emunah. That was clear to them. You had a question?
But the generation that entered the Midbar is not, they're not the same as one that is now, because there was like a lot of complaining.
And that generation, even more so, that generation succeeded where the previous generation failed. This generation doesn't complain about the man, and doesn't complain about the be'er, and doesn't complain about all these things. And in fact, there are many mefarshim who do understand that the few times they do complain at the very end of Sefer Bamidbar, that there's a disconnect potentially between Moshe and the people, because he's reacting to them like the first generation, and this is their first time complaining, and their complaints are coming from a totally different place, and their reactions, if you look at the psukim, their reactions are totally different. And that's why they're able to enter where the other generation didn't. This generation is the generation that had to have been less than 20 years old when they started the desert, and are now between the ages of 40 and 60, if they're men. Women, of course, don't sin the same way that men do. Women are on a more loftier spiritual level. They were not wiped out during those 40 years in the desert, so the women were of all ages. But we're talking about very spiritual women and men who literally grew up in the desert. That's all they know. They might have memories if they were 19, if they were 18. They might have memories of the olden days, which they're telling their grandkids about, of when they left Egypt. But that's it. That's where we're at. It's an amazing thing. This is literally their whole lives. So Muna was part of them. They were also on a very lofty level of Kedusha. As the Arizal says, La Pasuk, Viraglecha, Lo Batseka. Without getting into it, he's understanding from a pasuk in I believe it's the beginning of Parshat Vet Chanan. He's understanding it from the pasuk there that he's reading it a little bit differently to understand it to mean that in areas of Kedusha, specifically relating to purity between men and women, that they were a generation that was on a very lofty level in that way. And of all things, when we're talking about raising up one's physical reality toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu and directing all physical pleasure toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's obviously the most intense space, and in that way they raised themselves up and focused all of their energies in that area, all toward a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vita v'priya aretz, Sefer Priya Aretz says al pasuk, hitavu ta'ava, v'yamru mi yachilenu basar, sha'amachalim sha'adam ochel me'ororim bo ta'avot. On the pasuk in Parshat Ba'alotcha, it says that they were hitavu ta'ava. This is the previous generation, the generation that did die out in the desert. They had a tremendous ta'ava. This is one of the first complaints as soon as we leave Har Sinai in the beginning of Sefer B'Midbar, that they had this tremendous ta'ava, and they said, who's going to give us basar? Who's going to give us meat? That when a person eats, it brings about ta'avot. When we start eating, we want more, we want this, we want that. The act of eating itself is what makes us desire more sometimes. But in the midbar, in the desert where they were eating man, the way that the pasuk, I don't remember from where, it's not in Chumash, it's in Nevi'im or it's somewhere in Nach. But it says, lechem evarim achal ish, that it refers to the man as lechem evarim. Machal Shmimi v'kadosh. They were eating a food that was heavenly. Shemaim, shmimi v'kadosh, and that was pure. Lo hayu marer tavot. They didn't bring out a tava on them when they ate the man. V'lo hayitalehem kol shayachud li'nei tavot. They had no connection to tava. The bread, the food they ate was, they were eating food from Shemaim. You know, when we eat food, right? Inside of food, like everything in this world, in a post-Eitz HaDaat Tovara world, there's Tov in the food and there's Ra in the food. And we literally experienced that. I mean, that was what they did. They took food and they lowered the reality of food when they ate from it to a reality where the food is Tov and Ra. So we experience that inside. When we eat food, even if we're eating something that's nutritious and has tremendous value to it and that isn't destroyed by the modern food industrial system, really pure, good food, when you eat that, if you need to use the bathroom afterward, what happens? In your stomach, your body pulled out all of the nutrients and all of the goodness from that food, took out all of the poisons that were still in that food, and your body gets rid of the poisons. According to Chazal, they didn't use the bathroom for 40 years. Food that comes from Shemaim, there's no negativity in that, there's no rot in that, there's no psalat in that. It's pure goodness. On a physical level, the spiritual manifestation of that is that when they would eat it, it wouldn't even arouse in them a ta'ava. It wouldn't even bring about a desire within them, because it was pure food that only created purity within them. It strengthened the body, it gave to the body, and it only produced goodness inside of them, to the point where the food didn't even arouse the ta'ava in them to eat more, to look for more, to try to enhance their taste buds. They weren't even looking for that. It was a totally different quality of food.
Why did the Avram try to save over food?
Who did? Eruv.
The Eruv. Why did they try to save food? Like, if they weren't desiring to have more.
Again, those were the issues of trying to save man from one day to the other. Those are all issues earlier on in the desert with the first generation and with the Eruv Rav. And again, issues that the second generation didn't struggle with. Yeah, the second generation didn't struggle with. The Asaf Suf, similar to what you were talking about, Asher Bikabo Hitavu Tava, that was the Asaf Suf, or you refer to them as the Erev Rav. The Asaf Suf, Asher Bikabo, that were within Klal Yisrael, they were Hitavu Tava. Sheratzu Shielahem Ta'avot, the way that many of us understand is Hitavu Ta'ava, that they had a Taiva for what? For Taiva. They missed the Taiva. There's actually something really exciting about having that moment where, like, you're sitting there and you're, like, salivating and, like, you really want those buffalo wings. There's something exciting when, like, you get that moment of, like, wow, you know what? I'm totally in for buffalo wings. Totally there. And then when you finally get them, oh, they're so good. Usually not after when you're on the couch passed out for an hour because you can't move or breathe because they're going to kill your insides, right? But that beginning, hitavu ta'ava, that was where they were at. That they were, that generation, part of that generation, the Asaf Suf and the Erev Rav, was annoyed because they missed the taiva. And that's why they asked for the meat in the first place. Because there was no taiva by the man. Vayomru miach lenu basar. Who's going to give us meat? Ki basar merer tavot. Because meat, that brings about ta'ava. Right? Nothing makes you want to eat more like a shmorg. Right? You come to a shmorg and you start with one plate, and then 6 plates later you're wondering, why is there even dinner? Right? It's hitavu tzavad, brings about, and then again, the person needs to do their own cheshbonot, but I'm saying like, that's the nature of food, that's the way we relate to it. This generation was a tremendous generation in their da'at, in their amunah, in kedusha. As the Zohar says, the Zohar says that there in the world was never a dara, never a door, a generation that was as lofty as this door, and there will never be one until the generation of Yimot HaMashiach. When this generation, the Dordea, was standing there on the border waiting to go into Eretz Yisrael, this generation, this Dordea, they're standing there on the border of Eretz Yisrael, and they were very afraid. They weren't afraid of the wars, and they weren't afraid of the work. You know what the Dordea was afraid of? They were afraid to walk into a reality where the Emuna wasn't going to be so easy. And the Kedusha wasn't going to be so easy, because they desperately wanted to cling to the heights of Emuna and Kedusha that they had achieved. They were worried lest they lose those great heights of Emuna and Kedusha that they had achieved in the Midbar. Because they recognized that they hadn't achieved those levels through their own work. How did they have that Emuna? Because God gave them food from the sky, and gave them the air, and gave them the Aranim. They had the level of Kedusha that they had because of the food that they were eating, because of the reality of the organization of the desert, and because of the reality they were living in. They were living in a close of the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the desert, like the desert is like the womb. They're living in the womb. Everything is being provided. Everything is simple. Everything is clear. Everything is pure. Everything is direct. The world gets complicated when a person's born into the world. That's when things get complicated. A child never cries and demands food, saying, I want food, I want to be changed, I want to eat, I want to sleep. A child never cries and demands for its own needs until it's born into the world. Inside of the womb, it just knows, I'm good, and I'm taken care of. Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of me. My mother's taking care of me.
Right? Remember? What are we talking about now?
That tranquility of the desert, that clarity of the desert, right? And it's the clarity of the womb also. In the womb, a person knows Kol HaTorah Kula and then gets hit on the lip and loses all that Torah before it's born into the world. There's a clarity before birth. There's a clarity before birth that's equivalent to the clarity that they had in the desert. No ta'ava, no lack of clarity. Everything is set. And they come in, and their fear is that they're born into the real world. The realest of worlds, the most real space of reality into Eretz Yisrael. A land where you have to find the miraculous in the mundane. Where you have to find the divine in the details. I love alliterations. Right? Where you have to find those things. That becomes a challenge, and they're afraid that if they got this for free to a certain extent, are they going to be able to maintain that when you, instead of looking up to Shemayim for your food, have to start working the field? How's that going to work?
No, I was just thinking that it was because it's less certain, they don't know what's going to happen when the child is born, but then that's exactly what you said, that the clarity
goes away.
Different.
Yeah. That clarity of Emunah and Kedusha, and in the womb of just security, of knowing everything is fine. That's okay. A baby doesn't cry. A baby can't even breathe. A baby doesn't cry. It doesn't have the lungs to breathe. The lungs expand and open when the baby's born.
It's like, of course, it's harder for us because we aren't getting one from Shemayim. We aren't. But it's not because Hashem's not taking care of us. It's just because
it's taking the mentality and the perspective of the desert, and then actively learning how to apply it into Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, parentheses, that is literally what all Sefer Devarim is out to accomplish. Moshe Rabbeinu is doing the Mishnah Torah, retelling the Torah, going over the Torah, not because they don't remember it. He is giving over Torah for its application in Eretz Yisrael. That's literally what all Devarim is about, because it's not just for that generation, it's for all of humanity, for all time, to learn how to take all the lessons of Bereishis, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and how do I live it? And somehow that needs to come through the bridge of Moshe, who's both Elohim, he's both godly and up on the mountain getting the Torah, but very much a human being. And he's the one who somehow, therefore, bridges that gap and brings it out. A lot of beautiful Torahs there, but we haven't even gotten back to Bikurim yet. So let's see if we can get to Bikurim. Sorry, the Eretz Yisrael. Yitzrichim la'avod lifart lefarnastam bikochot atzmam. In Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have to work in order to sustain themselves with their own efforts. Next page. Kuf Samachal. Uminayin tiyelahem ha'emuna bihira hazot kifi sheroim b'midbar she'akol mi'ad Hashem. Where are they going to have this clarity of emuna that they saw in the midbar? They saw everything was from the hand of God in the midbar. Shorehi ha'itaskut b'inenei ha'parnasa midarcha le'orer etzel b'nei adam. Because the second we have to work to earn, it's very easy for a person to come to an incorrect, a broken perspective of I did this, I accomplished this. And again, it applies so clearly in an agricultural society where you literally have to take your hands and go out to the field and you plow and you sow and you tend and you reap. It's all my hands. Kochi ve'otz em yadi asat ha'gaza. My hands literally did this work. What God? Perhaps the challenge is even greater when you're going and you're sitting behind a desk and you're doing administrative work, or you're a doctor. There it's a little bit. You still are using hands, but you know you're going and you're doing a surgery, and you know that you took that valve and you did this with that, and you sewed the person back up. Kochi ve'otz em yadi. I'm the greatest doctor that there is. And when my check comes, it's because I earned it, because I worked in school and I got good grades and I got to the best medical school and I refined my skills and I put myself at the top and now I get paid top dollar to do the best doctor. Why? No. God gave you the intelligence and God gave you the hands, and you really think you can decide whether that person lives or dies? You're just a shaliach. Remember the first time that it hit me in that way? In Eretz Yisrael, somebody I was very close to had to go to have a procedure early in the morning, and I was with them when they had to go get the procedure early in the morning. And so it wasn't in Yerushalayim, we were based in Yerushalayim, and we stayed overnight at somebody's house who lived close to a hospital outside of Yerushalayim. And the people were just these big balei chesed, and they always opened their doors to people who needed to stay overnight if they had an early procedure the next morning. That was one of the aspects of their avodas Hashem in life. And they said, oh, who's doing the procedure? And we said who the procedure was that was doing the procedure, and not in a way that was like kind of like forced from me. You could see it from a total place of genuineness. They were like, oh wow, she's an amazing shaliach. She's an amazing shaliach. But like without an ounce of that firminess to it. It was coming from clear emuna. It's an amazing thing to see. I still remember it to this day. This was 7 or 8 years ago. And to this day, I still remember that moment because I was like, wow, that's how you look at life. That's how you were meant to look at life. But that's what he's talking about. That once you start having to work the land, once you start having to earn your keep, once you start having to earn in this world, to literally go out into the workforce in any way, you could very easily be lost. We just read that. Tov. Yoter, va'elu habikiim yoter v'mlachtam him gam matzlichim yoter. As we just said before, that where those who are smarter and those who are the better at their job, those are the ones who are more successful. Va'itas sakana pintif gam b'emunatam, and it's very possible that a person looking at the world that way can take a hit in their emuna. Ukimokin chashash hachashash b'kedusha. So too, there's much more danger in realms of kedusha. Sheidei ha'oskim b'yanei olam hazeh, when one is now involved in matters of this world, olam ha'asiya, this physical world, and they're eating physical food, not as that one generation got to eat for 40 years, man that fell from heaven. You're eating food that you grew, that was grown, that's physical food, and that you grew. That's all bringing about ta'ava. They were very worried they were going to lose this lofty level of kedusha that they achieved in the midbar. Because up until now they'd been eating maim, they'd been eating man, they'd been drinking from the well that followed them around. Now they were going to be drinking water of Eretz Yisrael. They were going to be eating the food of Eretz Yisrael. And it's kadosh. But in Eretz Yisrael, you have to see the kedusha. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to work to make sure you see the kedusha. There's no question that the fruit of Eretz Yisrael is kadosh. Everything from Eretz Yisrael is kadosh. The difference in the midbar and Eretz Yisrael is in the midbar you get to see it for free, the kedusha for free, and in Eretz Yisrael you have to work to maintain the perspective of seeing the kedusha that is it be'emes inherently in that food. Now we come to it. At mitzvat bikurim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the mitzvah of bikurim. Sha'asa mitzvah zo shebishvilat tikanis la'aretz. That through this mitzvah they'd be able to enter the land. Haynu shezo aderech al yada yuchlu likanes v'la'asok gam b'nei ha'artim. He's telling them, no, through this mitzvah you will be able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. This is your gateway. This mitzvah, the perspective of this mitzvah, the reality of this mitzvah, this is what's going to give you the koach to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. Not because you did it. Right.
Having the perspective of this mitzvah.
Through this mitzvah you will enter Eretz Yisrael. If you hold on to this mitzvah, the emes of what this mitzvah is about, and then live it also, then you'll be able to go in and stay. How so? Because in mitzvah bikurim you have both of these things. You have emunah. How so? As we've already said, we've already hinted to so many times already in the last 30 minutes. Shachar shiyudi oved kolkach harbeb meshach hashana. That after a Jew has worked all year, choresh, he plows, vizorea, and he plants, menachesh, and does other things in the field. Ad shemagia vizochel yirot et priya malohi hateina shebichra. To the point where he finally sees that first fig growing out. Again, try to get into that headspace. Loop one more time. Get into the headspace. Get into the headspace right now at this time of year. You're starting to get everything together. You're starting to think about it. Because in a couple of months, again, you're going to have to start to go through your entire field and plow. And it's hard, rough work. And then you're going to plant in all of those furrows. And then you're going to, please God, make it rain. And you're going to tend to that field all through the winter, and you're going to hope it rains. And every time it rains, you're either going to say, yes! Or you're going to say modim with more kavana, depending on who you are. And then you're going to go and you're going to keep tending to it and making sure that the bugs don't get to it and that the crops don't get destroyed and that everything works out. And then months and months later, after, we say it in Shir HaMalos all the time, after hazorim b'dim'ah, you plant with tears because it's a painful process of planting. Berina yiksoru. Then you start to go to gather in the crops and you just want to sing out. And the question is, to whom are you singing? Are you singing your own praises? Or do you have the clarity to sing a Kadosh Baruch Hu's praises? That's Bikurim. And it's a hard thing to do because, again, you see that fruit. You finally see that first fig come out. That, and again, real, beautiful, fresh fig that just grew in the ground that you planted and tended to. It hasn't been processed. It hasn't been sitting. It's a fresh fig right off that tree. You want to grab it. Forget the bracha. You just want to grab it and eat it and enjoy the fruits of your labor. That's where the term comes from.
How do we...
One second. Instead, to be able to have the clarity of running down the field in the same way and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for everything that you've given me. And this fruit, which is the most beloved to me, because it's the first one, it's showing me that everything that I strive for, I've accomplished. It shows me that everything I've strived for, you've accomplished. And with the same excitement, tying that string around it, and saying, this is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to give you that which is most beloved to me, because everything that I am is from you, and everything that is here is yours. That's reasserting that emuna. That's saying, I'm looking at a fig, but I'm seeing mine. That's what we're talking about.
How do we equate this to something in our life?
Again, to me, the most visceral experience is that, B'zrat Hashem, when you go off into work, when you go to work, while you're working, recognize that everything you have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But more importantly, every 2 weeks or every month, when that check comes in the mail, say thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what's even harder? At the end of the year, if you're in a job that works like this, when you get that bonus, thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the first thing you do, go and give some tzedakah. Go and buy some of the kavod shabbos kodesh. In your own way, give bikurim. Internally and externally. That's what it's talking about. If when you see that check, you see man, you're golden. That's the avoda. It takes a lifetime. That's the avoda. And then after all of that again, the person still has the internal fortitude to go forward and tie that string around it and say, this is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's showing through that al bihirut emunato, the clarity of his emuna, that it's not my strength that accomplished this. It's not his actions and the plowing and the reaping and the sowing and all this stuff that doesn't accomplish anything. Who gives you the strength to accomplish anything, and it's all his. The mitzvah of Bikurim, a person feels that emuna, that after everything that they did, it's not theirs. As it says in the next few psukim in the parsha, that when you go and bring them to the kohen and you make this declaration, you say, I'm bringing the beginnings of my fruit, asher natata li Hashem, that God gave me, not that I produced, that God gave me. Shakol miyadcha ve'in zev klal mishali. This is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and none of it's from me. He's bringing the first fruits. That's the most enjoyable. Again, you look in a person's store. You ever see that there are sometimes bills taped to the wall of a person's store? What bills are taped to the walls of a store? The first ones. That's their bikurim. It doesn't belong on the wall. It belongs in the tzedakah box. It belongs to buy the ingredients to make challah and Shabbos kodesh. It belongs to buy the oil to light Shabbos candles. That's where it belongs. It doesn't belong on the wall. I'm not criticizing a person. One person has to recognize that that's what they're supposed to do with it. That's to see the world in a different way. I'm not criticizing this person, but that's what we're talking about. Bikurim. But you see that you think about, like, oh, well, how do we make a modern equivalent? People, the second they get that first dollar bill, it's so exciting they want to put it on their wall. Look what I've accomplished. And when you guys do that, you're going to put it in the Zucker box. That's Bikurim be'emes. Because it's that precious to a person. Yeah.
What if, let's say, like, those people put it on the wall because they're, like, oh, I'm putting it on there because, like, I see that, like, Hashem, like...
So, again, I'm not criticizing them. I'm using these as, like, an example of, like, to show you that you would say, like, how do we have Bikurim now? You see that people react to the first thing that you get from the work that you produce, you feel close to, in such a way where I'd rather put it on the wall as hoda'a or as recognition of myself, whether for good or bad reasons. There's a closeness to that because it's the first fruits of my labor. And we feel it. So much so that I'd rather not spend it. I want it on the wall. For whatever the reason may be, I want it on the wall. Because we feel connected to it in a different way. And that's what they felt in the fields. It wasn't meant to be a criticism. It was meant to be a reframing. But you're right. If they're putting up there to say, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made my store work, and it's next to their Birkata Esek, so then they're good. He sees that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're out of time for today. Next time we'll start on time, so we'll get a few extra minutes. We'll get a good extra 10 minutes in. But to take away again, that it's through the mitzvah of Bikurim that we're able to go into the land, that by engaging our earthiness, engaging our physical side, engaging the physical world, whether in Chutz La'aretz Lo'Aleinu or in Eretz Yisrael Bezrat Hashem, then we engage the physical world, bring the reality of Bikurim with you. That emuna of Bikurim, we didn't get to it, but the kedusha of Bikurim, a recognition that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything's focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's no such thing as kochiv otsim adia sadat chayal azeh, that I have no power of my own, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides the world, he gives me anything, and to raise that up in our paychecks, in the accomplishments in our work, in the first dollar that we get, in everything that we do, to recognize, and when we get an A+ on a test, to say a bigger modem, to bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have the recognition, that's Bikurim. And through that, we're zochah to be able to live in the physical world in a way of emunah and kedusha, v'ezrat Hashem. Shkoch, everybody.